Hi, welcome to the 29th episode of the Naina Radio Experience. Hope you're doing well. Hope Christmas went well. I know everyone likes to celebrate Christmas, even though we're not all Christians. But it's so much fun. We all grew up with Santa Claus and we all want gifts. New Year's is right around the corner. I'm sure a lot of you are on vacation, which is wonderful, and I'm jealous because I am not out of the city. I'm still in Gurgaon and breathing Delhi air, although now we have two air purifiers. One is a Mi Air 2 and the other one is a sharp one that we just recently purchased, because the Mi wasn't, we were constantly picking up one and taking it to the other room, and whenever we switched from the bedroom to the work desk, etc. So we decided to get another one. And another friend of ours who is already a researcher, he has a bunch of air purifiers at home, and he's been researching which one is the most effective. And according to his research, the sharp one was the most effective. So I'm going to be home at New Year's, probably drinking some mulled wine that I made at home and breathing clean air. And I really don't want to travel because I've been traveling so much. Just got back from Bombay last week. And at least till after the first week of Jan, I just do not want to leave the apartment. I don't know if you can see. If you're watching the video, you'll probably see there's this apparatus that I have. You can see I don't even know what it's called. The boy got it for me for recording better audio quality. So I am recording the video on the phone, and it is also recording the audio, but I'm also recording audio on Adobe Audition in the background on the laptop screen right behind me. And this is the microphone. It's called the blue microphone. Yeah, it's some blue, some ice snowball blue, something like that. I'll try to remember to put that in the details. I am also doing it was supposed to be a three-part series about how I started the podcast, what I thought about, how I got to validating it and submitting it to iTunes, etc. So, but there is probably going to be a fourth part because I have realized that the quality of audio on this mic is way better than what I was recording on the phone. Although the phone wasn't bad either. But when you listen to a video, I think it's very different. And if you're listening to it only as a podcast, then the quality of audio, it could hurt your ears. It wasn't that nice to listen to. I'm also testing the mic today because if it doesn't work, I'll still have audio on the phone. Okay, let's come back to the podcast, the 29th episode. As I said, the idea for the podcast was that I would answer questions that people might have about photography or about blogging or pretty much anything else. But I don't really, get a lot of good questions. So I got one question last week, which doesn't have to do specifically with blogging or with photography. It's more about balance between social life and work life. And I got a question from a student, someone who's still studying, but they also work on the side and make some money doing web development. They make some WordPress themes, and they also write. So they write for a bunch of online publications and they make a small amount of money. So their question was, how should they balance their social life, family life with their work life? One of the specific questions they asked me was, how do they manage doing work when there's also a family function to attend, for example? Now, I know at the outset, this question sounds quite silly, but for someone who's young and someone who's just starting out, it can seem quite confusing because you love your family, you want to spend time with them, you don't want them to feel bad. At the same time, you also want to do work. You want to make a name for yourself, you want to do great work, you want to work with clients. It's the sense of independence that you get by doing your own work and making whatever little money you do on the side. So my first question to this person was whether they are financially dependent on their family or not. Because if they are financially dependent on their family, then they don't really have, especially in the Indian context, they don't really have a lot of independence in telling the family that they are not going to show up for this event or that event or any event. I have fortunately, or I don't know, some people might not think it's fortunate. My parents have always been cool with me wanting or not wanting to attend events. For example, I haven't been to a wedding in 2 years. Apart from the fact that I don't photograph weddings anymore, I don't even attend them. There's nothing personal, it's just a huge waste of time. There, I said it. So, for me, it's never really been an issue, and not for the last decade for sure, but earlier days, I think when I was a teenager or even in my early 20s, when I was still dependent on my parents, there was this sense of that, oh no, mom, dad ne bula hai, jana padega, acha nahi lagta. You don't want them to feel bad. But I also had a side career that I was working on, not while I was studying, but after I was studying, and I started working independently in branding, etc. So there was this. So you figure out a way. I mean, you have to at some point put your foot down and say that, look, I understand this event is important for you, but if your family is attending a wedding a day, especially during the wedding season, you have to, whether you're a guy or a girl, you have to shave, you have to get dressed, you have to do makeup, you have to spend time in traffic, you have to go there, stay with your parents till they decide to come back, because if you decide to come back on your own, they might not like it. So there are a lot of other entanglements involved. So it is best to, I think, start with saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to attend two events this month with you guys. Why don't you tell me which those two you would, prefer them to be? Which are the two that you would want me to be there for? And I'll come for those two, and that's it. So it's life is a set of negotiations, and you don't want anyone to feel bad. At the same time, you have to decide what your space is. You don't want to waste your own time. You don't want your work to be jeopardized. You don't want your individualities to suffer, for example. So you have to find where you can negotiate the most. There are some, for example, if it's your own, sister's or real sibling's wedding, then I'm sure you would want to attend it anyways. But if it's extended family you've never not been in touch with for a long time, family that doesn't know what you do in life, you could negotiate with your parents and say that, this is not something that I would find useful. And I don't think they would find useful. So yeah, you can always negotiate and say that this is, some really interesting international project that I'm working on, and it'll add value to my career in the long run. Because look, even if it's not associated or directly related with what you're studying, you might be studying one subject, but you might be doing freelance or independent projects for related to another subject or another field of interest or area of study. The thing is, it makes you a well-rounded person. Whether you're looking to do a 9-to-5 job once you graduate, or whether you're looking to be an independent contractor for the rest of your life, it gives you experience in a separate arena. So the more experience you have in a wide range of areas, the more you can bring to the table when, a client approaches you for a product because or for a project, because you know that there are these 50 different aspects that are associated with the project, and it's not just, for example, only a WordPress theme design. It needs to load fast. It needs to be scalable in the future. You need to be able to, the client at some point might want to sell products on that website. The client might want to expand their team at some point. So you need to think of these things, and all this comes only with exposure. All this comes only if you have worked on a project which is not directly related to what you're doing, and you work on 10 different projects, etc. I think it is important to have open conversations with your family members. You might be someone who's married, who has a wife and a child, and there are things you want to do on the side in terms of, you might have a day job, 9-to-5 something, but on the weekends you want to be a photographer. It's not as simple as picking up the camera and saying, hey, I get these 2 days on Saturday and Sunday and I'm off. Bye-bye. You need to spend time with your wife and your children. You also want to do this thing on the side. So you have to find a way to negotiate it. Maybe start with portraits of your family. It is photography at the end of the day. It doesn't always have to be, oh, how do I get my first client? You start with things that are around you. You make a nice photograph of your mobile phone that you're already using. You make a nice portrait of family members, and you have a blog on the side. I mean, it is not so difficult to launch your own blog these days. It's really, really easy. It's free. All you have to do is post some photos. You don't even need a blog. If you have a Facebook page, just make it public and post your work there, post the portraits that you've shot there. So suddenly you'll have interest from around you, people who see your work. A friend's friend recommends you and says that, hey, you know, this friend of mine does portraits at home and he's done this work. And he or she, and you know, why don't you hire them? Because I heard you wanted a portrait. And that's how it goes. Maybe then one day on the job, you know, you can tell the client that, look, I'm available only before 9 a.m. because I have this thing that I need to be at my desk at 9. So can we meet at 7 a.m. for the portrait? Trust me, a lot of people don't have a problem. There might be some logistical issues to coordinate that, but it can be done. Also, it depends on how interested you are. If it's not just about the money. I mean, it's, you know, for example, this person who wrote to me is a student. For them right now, making a lot of money on their own is not really one of their goals as such. It will come at some point where they will probably have to choose between the career they are studying for and the career they already have. So making that choice will not eventually be based just on money. Although the family, especially, you know, a couple of generations ago, our parents' generation, they always said that you need to be secure. You need to have money that you have for a rainy day. You need to have savings. You need to have your own apartment. You need to have a car, etc., etc. That doesn't hold true anymore, in the sense that it's a the way the economy is, or the way we look at it now, is that, okay, one assignment, you do an assignment, you look at how long it'll take you through for the next 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and then you plan the rest of your work according to that. Whether you want to do, you know, for example, if I get a bigger assignment in this month, then maybe for January and February, I will only work on personal projects. I won't look at paid client projects at all. It's up to me. I can say no. It isn't just the race for money anymore. So for me, finding time to spend with family, even though I do this, is still hard because, you know, I do a podcast. I need dedicated time to decide and think about what it is I want to talk about. Should I do agony aunt columns or, you know, podcasts like these? So I want to spend more time with the family, and I do end up doing that, I think, more than most of my counterparts who have a 9-to-5 job, because in that case, the control isn't really theirs. There are a lot more variables that affect that decision for them. For me, sure, there are variables that is this, you know, season where all the fashion brands, for example, are working with bloggers, and do they want to work with me as well? So if I go on a vacation now for 15 days, I might miss out on work. So you have to think about that, and sometimes it's okay to miss out on work, which is a call you have to take based on whatever money you've made and how comfortable you are for the following months. So it's one of my goals. I mean, I even like working with brands that want to involve my parents, because I don't know how long they're going to be around. So if a brand is open to a pitch where I can involve my mom or my dad, and I can do a story for the brand and you know, get paid for it and add value to the brand, I am very, very enthusiastic to work on a project like that. As opposed to a project that involves just me looking pretty, wearing clothes, posing at a 5-star hotel. I am, for example, we did a story recently. I don't know if you saw the blog with Westin in Gurgaon. They hosted a kitty party with my mom and her, you know, kitty group. So that they agreed to that. It was a pitch I made to them, and it worked out so well. I mean, not only were the ladies really, really happy, I mean, who wouldn't be? But I think the way my audience looked at it was also that, oh wow, you know, this is a possibility. One can do this. For me, it was taking my mom out on a day, and she enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it. I was happy. I'm a fan for life of the Westin brand now. As it is, I'm a huge fan of Starboard, Marriott. So that was a, it was, it was a, it was a good PR exercise for the brand. It was a great family mother-daughter bonding time for us. It was a great time for the ladies to bond as friends and have a great time. There was a spa treatment by the pool. It was nice and sunny. Then they went in for brunch, and they all, at the end of the day, said that we have never spent so much time at any of our kitties, which they have once a month, but we didn't realize how time flew, and you know, I think we should be going home now. And it was fun. It was nice. So for you have to understand what your long-term goals are, and this this thing that I have that I want to spend more time with my family or with my sister or with my husband's family, for example. This comes a little later in life, I guess, not in your 20s. When you're in your 20s, you're probably still trying to figure out what it is you want to do in life. So if you find yourself, you know, if you find yourself confused, if you find yourself conflicted that how do I make a decision in this case? So usually what will happen is that scenario will present itself again. So that same scenario, when you make choice A this time, make choice B the next time and try choice C the next time. I mean, you have time to experiment, especially if you're a student. So experiment with your answers to your parents, to how you negotiate, to, you know, how you negotiate with clients, for example, if there are certain kind of projects you do, for example. So that's a choice you're making. So there's a certain kind of events or family functions that you want to be part of. Look at it like that. I mean, traditionally in India, the family has been the be-all and the end-all. That family ne bol diya to ho gaya. I mean, we still have honor killings. Like, fuck, it's 2016. It's going to be 2017. Like, what's going on? So it starts with you. It starts with the new generation. You have to have a dialogue. You have to have a conversation. Some members of your family will get it. Some will not get it, which is just how it is. Some human beings understand things and want to talk about it and want to learn and want to grow, and some don't. So there will always be some people in the family who will ridicule you or say that you're too young to understand anything. And they might be right. You might, in another 5 years, your perspective might completely be different. Like when I was in my 20s, the last thing I wanted to do was go out with my parents for anything. Like, I thought it was so uncool. I was embarrassed to take them to college. Like, oh my God, my dad's going to come to college. But it changes. It changes with time. It changes. You realize that you have a limited number of days, years, months with them. And you want to spend as much time with them as possible. So for me, the perspective is completely different. Sure, there are still some places where I urge them to just go and do their thing because it's their thing. Family is not really required there. But I'd still try to go with them as much as possible. If they want to go somewhere and spend some time, they want to go for lunch, I want to take them out somewhere. In any case, most Indian parents are like, let's just sit at home and have our, you know, quiet meal, one drink, and just family gets together and there's lots of conversation. So we try to do that. But talk to them. I mean, I have seen my parents evolve in the last decade. And I would like to think that it's because me and my sister, we talk to them. They have been open with us about everything while we were growing up. We speak about everything. So they have been open to it. There were a lot of times, for example, earlier when my dad would say, what are you wearing and going to a club, for example. He'll never say that to me anymore now. Also, because he realizes that, you know, there are certain things that I do or the kind of person I am and that it's okay to not be like them. So you have to have that dialogue with your parents. It is a negotiation. There is no, sugarcoating that. And you have to understand that it is a relationship like any other relationship. As much as Indian culture would like you to believe, you don't owe your parents anything. You didn't ask to be brought into this world. It was a choice they made. Now, I'm not saying you turn a complete asshole to your parents, but I'm saying that they are adults. You're an adult and you have an adult to adult dialogue. Don't behave like a child. Grow up yourself. Listen to them, evaluate what they're saying, and then very clearly you tell them that, look, this is my point of view. I don't want you to feel bad. I'm trying not to do that. If there is something that you absolutely want me to do, fine, I'll do that and fuck the client assignment. But this is my point of view. If you talk like that, they're all open to it. Most people are, in any case, especially if you're living in one of the metros, in one of the urban cities, your parents are educated, you are educated. You can have a dialogue, even if they completely disagree with your point of view or who you are and they don't understand it. But if you're not even having a conversation, it will be difficult for you to negotiate at a later stage. The sooner you start, the sooner you drop some bombs, the quicker they are likely to understand your point of view or at least listen to you. So yeah, you need a social life balance and a work life balance, in the sense that you can't just keep working. Although, for example, I am quite addicted to work, so I enjoy my work immensely. I think I'm a workaholic, but I have no problems turning off my phone or turning off the internet for 2-3 days a week, 15 days even, and decide that, okay, fine, you know, I'm not available for the next 15 days. So it's not really about balance. You just go with the flow. You do what you enjoy. If you're not enjoying a family function, don't go for it. Be polite about it. There's no need to fight. You can, I mean, I have had so many fights with my parents, so I'm one to talk. But again, I have held this belief for a long time that there is no such thing as work-life balance. It's life. Sometimes you're working, sometimes you're chilling, and you figure out what you're comfortable with at what point. And you have to understand what do you want to do. It's not about what the family wants. It's not about what client assignments you're getting, so you should take it because you're getting the money on the table. You have to understand what do you want to do? What are your goals? Have you thought about what makes you tick? What calms you down? What helps you enjoy life more? What makes you feel more satisfied? On the basis of that, you have to make a decision. You can't blame someone else tomorrow and say that these are the kind of clients I got. I can't help it. So that's where my career went. But I wanted it, to go in a different direction. No, it is your choice. At some level, you are the one who's deciding to take on a client assignment or go to a family function. And the more you let people decide for you, it's only going to get worse. So you decide for yourself, be clear why you are making a certain decision, and then take it from there. So I know this is like the 29th episode is turning out to be more of an agony aunt column, but it's the same with blogging for a long time. Everyone around me was didn't even know what, even now. When I go and meet brands, or when I, hang out with the family or the last generation of the family, and they ask, okay, if it's someone senior who's meeting me for the first time, and they're like, "Beta, what do you do?" And I'm like, I usually respond with, "I'm a photographer." "Oh, okay. So you work with magazines?" Because the traditional model has been that a photographer is an advertising photographer who's hired by a print magazine, and they shoot for that magazine, and you're a fashion photographer, and that's it. Very few people understand even now that you can be a photographer and you can shoot pretty much whatever you want. So I'm not I think 4 or 5 years ago I'd met someone at a party who asked me what kind of a photographer I was, and they worked at an ad agency. And I told them that a lot of most photographers traditionally specialize in a particular vertical. They're automobile photographers, or they're beauty photographers, or they're fashion photographers, for example. I told them that I'm a horizontal photographer. I specialize in a horizontal non-existent industry. So after so many years of doing that, I now say that I specialize in narrative photography. I don't call it storytelling because sometimes there is no story as such. It is a documentation of a narrative of an event that went from, morning till evening, or the manufacture of a product from raw material to the finished product on a model or in a catalog, for example. So I specialize in narrative photography, right? I can't explain this to a lot of people whose model of a career is being, doing an MBA and being a CEO. That's it. That's all they know of. They want to know how many apartments you own, how many vehicles you own, what your yearly package is. So it is hard to have a conversation with someone like that, but it's not impossible. You can tell them what you do, how they take it, whether they ridicule it or they look confused. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be clear in your own head what it is you do and why you do it and why it works for you and how you're going to take it forward. So even how your parents respond to it is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to have a dialogue with them, as open as possible, as honest as possible, as honest as won't make your life miserable possible. If they choose to respond to it in a certain way, that is their choice. It is not your choice. Your choice is to have a dialogue. You've tried to have a dialogue. You have tried to have a conversation. If they respond to it not in a friendly way, their problem. You still got to do what you got to do. You can't spend the rest of your life blaming your parents for a choice you make. So if they tell you that, "No, we are not okay with this," that's their problem. You still got to do what you got to do. As long as you're not harming anyone, as long as you're not directly making them sad by hurting them, if they are going to feel sad regardless of what you do, guess what, buddy? That is their fucking problem. And there will be parents like that. There will be seniors in your family like that. You might not have parents. You might be living with a joint family. But there's always going to be someone like that in your life. At the end of the day, you are responsible for your choices, how you feel about those choices, how someone else feels about them, not your problem. So that is a very, very long-winded answer to a question that at first I hadn't even understood. So that is the 29th episode of the Naina Redu Experience. As always, thank you for listening, whoever is listening. And I think I am going to be answering questions about life as well. Again, this is never going to be legal or medical advice. It's going to be my opinion based on my experiences, on, you know, what has worked for me, what I think works for me. So if apart from questions related to photography, related to blogging, career, making money, I am also now going to be dishing out life advice. So say hello to your latest agony aunt. The Naina Redu Experience is also an agony aunt now. So yeah, cool. And guys and girls and everyone, thank you for listening so much. A very, very happy new year to you. 2017, please be better than 2016, especially the last months of 2016. Oh my God. I hope it'll be a great year. 2016 for me has been quite good work-wise. It has been quite good personally as well. I've learned a lot of things about myself. My relationship with my loved ones has evolved. My relationship with my clients has evolved. With the industry, it has evolved. I understand this workspace a lot better. So that way, I think 2016 was in a way a milestone for me. I've lost some friends, which was totally unexpected. Overall, I think it has been a decent year. You learn. And I think that's what's important. As long as you're open to learning and you're learning something, you're growing. So I hope 2017 is great for you. I hope you learn new things. I hope I learn new things. If you're listening to this, I hope at some point we get to meet and have a conversation, and maybe I'll record that and that'll be one of the episodes. I'm really looking forward to the next episode to be recorded in 2017. It'll be the first episode in a new year. And let's see how this goes. Thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year once again. This is Naina signing off. Bye.